I love when I have to give a talk because it made me go deeper and deeper. We need to allow time, and I was driving on Friday and sitting in 495, and I called Connie and says, "Peter, by the way, you have to do a talk, and I've been so busy that I said I need a nanny," which my nanny called me last night at 10 o'clock, and I said, "What kind of nanny are you? You're here at 10 o'clock." But anyhow, I was very grateful. And something wonderful happened because a client canceled, so I was able to dedicate, more time than I thought about that. And freedom, I think, is something that we take for granted. Living in another different country and seeing the world how it is, we don't realize how free we are. And I think freedom is the best quality that we have from God. Because we are able to think, to feel, and to be creative in our life as our own choosing. Even God, cannot do anything against our freedom. I love the sentence that says, I knock the door and I wait for you to open. So I love that. And that's the only way that, God, in the playground that David was saying, can meet me. And then, I started thinking about, how in my life, I have experienced this kind of freedom, because I think the only thing I can give you is my own experience. And when I was about 16, I said, there's no freedom. We are predestined. Predestined? Mm-hmm. Many things, psychologically, socially, culturally, we are predestined, so there is no real freedom here. And then I came into the religious thing that this is God's will, so it's His, His will, not my will. So, okay, well, you just accept like a little fact and that's it. And then I started growing in life, and then I learned about karma, and karma is even worse. Because karma is something that you did wrong, so never mind, you'll get it back. So that was very funny, see this process. And I do remember I came to Washington the first time in my life, probably, I don't know how many moons, but probably 20 years ago or more, maybe 25. And my brother went to pick me up at the airport, but before coming home, he said, listen, I need to buy some bread. So, and something more in the supermarket. So you go, please, buy some bread and I'll meet you in the cashier. Here I go, what we take for granted. I go in an aisle, there's two aisles, huge aisles in the supermarket, full of bread. Black bread, white bread, potato bread, with sesame, whatever. And I says, Michael, half an hour later, I says, what are you doing? You don't have any bread. And I says, I don't know what to choose. Which kind of bread you want? So this is something that, this is, wow. In Mexico, we have a variety of a very sweet, it comes from the Spaniards, and we don't have a big supper. We only have a very light, because comida is our big meal. So we usually, by night, you only take this wonderful bread. It could be 40 or 50 different kinds of bread, with sweet bread, with some milk or chocolate or something. So, but nothing. The other bread that we have, of course, we have the tortillas, but if you have something, we only have bolillos, one bread, okay? And something like this, a very old thing is, any kind of, the bread is called bimbo, no? So anyhow. So I'm telling you this because we take this for granted, and I've seen cultures, the choices that we have here are immense and can be even overwhelming. And So, going from there, then I said, but what is real freedom? What is really the freedom? And I think, and I learned from Emerson a wonderful thing that he says, that a man is a method, a progressive arrangement, a selective principle. So this ability to choose is the most important thing, because we are able to choose what we say, what we do, and to express life as we want it. But the most important thing that Science of Mind says is that we have the ability to search for our own truth, to search who we really, really are, that we are the expression of God. This is the personalized conscious mind with a big M, okay? And we have full volition and self-choosing. So if choice is our most important quality, I remember in practitioner that I read a book that I really like that is called Elegant Choices. And it's talking about the elegant choices we make in life. It's not like elegant, but it's a discipline, choosing the right thing, the right action in every moment in our life. And so, because it will really affect our life and what we think, but spiritually, once we make these choices, we have the ability to choose how we see life. And Emerson is saying that life is a train of moods that are like a string of beads, that as we pass through life, life colors as each one of the beads. So once you have the ability to choose your thinking, you have also the ability to choose your feeling. And this is what even Abraham is talking about. You have the ability to choose your feeling. I was telling Connie that I had a little incident with one of my sons, and it was a little painful about Christmas. Christmas is always a big mess. It's so many things involved in it and everything. And I had a very heavy day, with court, and I had to give the best to the people. I cannot afford to be sad or whatever. So it was funny, because when I hung up, it was 10 o'clock at night. I haven't eaten. I was exhausted. And I said, do I choose to be depressed? No, I want to see funny videos. And next day I said, excuse me. I don't know what is going to happen, but I'm choosing not to feel this way. Well, by night, he called me and says, Mommy, I'm sorry. I bought you the ticket. Do whatever you want to do. I said, what a great thing, because instead of spending, a whole day, in the depressive mode, whatever, I choose not to. And I think this is one of the most incredible experiences that I can give you. We can choose to be depressed, we can choose to be happy, we can choose to be angry, we can choose to turn our other cheek and give love instead of hate. And I think, once I realized that, I felt so powerful. I really felt so powerful, because there is limited, nobody can limit, even bondage. Even if you're in a prison, it's up to here what we decide to choose. So this is what I have to tell you this morning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I certainly am going to piggyback on all of that. probably one of my biggest heroes is Nelson Mandela, and the reason for that is him being able to be in prison for 27 years, and to walk out with the love in his heart. And that was to me, that is such discipline of the mind, to continuously be in that space when physically you are imprisoned, but not to let them imprison your mind. So freedom definitely took me to my mind and thinking. And a common metaphor that you hear about thinking is, black and white thinking. And I definitely, I had black and white thinking. There was right and there was wrong. And it was my job to discern which if you went down with the bad egg or you were the good egg. And and that was so, I mean, good night. That was so limiting for me, and such such a not fun place to be, the judge of all. And in thinking about that, you know, like Peter was saying, going through that history of how you've come about this, I thought, wow, I've gone to Roy G. Biv thinking, and that's the rainbow, and there's no color of the rainbow that is ugly. They're all just as beautiful as the next. And it's also all light and all good. One of the study groups that touched me so much was, and I'm sorry I don't remember his name, but Gail's and her partner's graduation.
William.
William. And Gail got up, and the first thing she said was, you know, of course, Gail went on about how wonderful it was and full of joy and in beautiful words, and then went on to say that everything that he had to share was so completely different than what she had to share, and how that just opened everything up even more. And it just touched me so much to hear such appreciation for something that is so opposite of herself. I also, with the freedom and with the mind, it's all coming from within. So again, I thought Gail's prayer this morning was so nice with it is from within. And to have that sense of I am that. And I was watching, it turned out to be, I guess, kind of in preparation for this, but watching What the Bleep, and something hit me. You know, I've heard I am for so long, and just loved the feeling it gave me. But to go even further than I am God, to think creator of the whole universe, that just, I don't know, that just, wow. And how can I, if I am that, because I'm my harshest critic at times, and so to feel that I have done wrong or sinned or is just my humanness coming out, because I'm not seeing that I am that in the universe, that I am so much bigger than right and wrong. And I'll end with from What the Bleep, with just the whole choices. I have at the top, reality is my possibility in consciousness. And I'm sure that's one of those that I rewound and made sure I got the words. And that talks again about choosing my feelings. And I was in a situation, which again I think is the universe setting me this up for this talk. Where I did not feel free. And I was able to get angry. And I got angry for about 2 hours. And I ran it and I raved. And it did, it felt good. It really felt good to get it out. I felt like stamp on my feet and it's not fair. But I could get it out so that now I'm moving on and I'm taking care of myself. And that is coming from within me as compared to allowing somebody else to make me feel, which is certainly before science of mind and other things in my life. what I did a lot, allowed others to make, to have more control over my feelings than what I have today. I think I'll stop there. I could go on and on and on, but I think I'll stop.
Thank you.
I remember Connie saying frequently that she lives with a topic for the whole month. And this topic of freedom, I think I've been playing with it my whole life. I put it right up there with the power of intention, which is one of my favorite topics. And freedom is another. And freedom is a topic that's up for me right now in my life. And I woke up the other night about 4 a.m., with these words in my head, and I even put on the light, got a notebook, and wrote them down, because they came across to me so powerfully. Freedom is about finding the open doorway and walking through it. And I thought, yeah, that's just what it's about for me. It's about, it's not just finding the doorway, but we've got to walk through it. And I thought, well, walking through it sometimes takes courage. But sometimes it doesn't take courage. If we are really ready for that particular change, there is no courage required whatsoever. We just go for it. And that's kind of where I feel in my life right now. You know that spiral loop thing, you know? Well, I see the spiral loop differently now. It goes up and up and up, and there are a multitude of pathways leading off it. So it kind of looks different to me now. If you can imagine that in your mind's eye, the spiral and all these pathways leading off it, maybe a giant octopus, multi-leveled or something. Anyway, I wanted to have something a little profound to hang this on beside that one statement. So I thought, well, I'll go and see what Emerson has to say on freedom. And you know, I looked through the whole, whatever you call it, table of contents. Nothing was entitled freedom. I thought, how could that be? This complete works of Ralph Waldo Emerson, gotta be something about freedom in here. Anyway, I got a little sidetracked because I saw that there was a chapter on, got to get his name right here, Henry David Thoreau. And Henry David Thoreau is someone that I have not been concerned with in my life. I've heard about him. I know about Walden Pond. I just recently found out that Walden Pond was on Emerson's property. And Thoreau actually lived in the same home with Emerson for periods of time. But I really didn't know anything about Thoreau. So I started reading the chapter, and I just got excited because it's like, yeah, this is for me. This is actually a memorial address given when Thoreau died by Emerson. He declined to give up. Thoreau never faltered. He was a born Protestant, I mean, protester probably. He declined to give up his large ambition of knowledge and action for any narrow craft or profession. For any narrow craft or profession. I thought to myself, my whole life has been about levels of freedom. Some of them pretty low levels of freedom. Because my very first career I went into was as a librarian. Now, that was fairly free. But they had their rules and regulations, and I followed them. And then my next career I went into was nursing. And boy, do they have rules and regulations. And then I went into open heart surgery on the team. And then the rules and regulations are very strict. You must do things in a certain way every time. And so looking at that concept of freedom, there wasn't a lot of freedom in my life as an operating room nurse. If I didn't do things a certain way, that things could go wrong and people could die. So, you know, I paid attention. And then my next career was as a minister, and would you know it? They have rules and regulations. The minister's code is that thick. It's like, okay, well, I'll try and keep them because I'm a law-abiding sort of person. And I look back and I think, I want a lot of freedom in that life for me. However, there was enough freedom in that life for me that I was able to move into my greater freedom. I was able to recognize a doorway, a new doorway when I saw it. I was able to walk through it into greater freedom. And it's kind of, here's something else that Emerson said about Thoreau. He was exact in securing his own independence. Yeah, I want to be exact in securing my independence because that's freedom. And then he said, I love this one. He chose to be rich by making his wants few and supplying them himself. That so resonated with me. Riches to me and true freedom is not in the stuff. I know you all know that about me. I am having so much fun right now giving away 90% of what I own. I get freer and freer every day. My apartment gets emptier and emptier, and it's freedom to me. Because if I don't have all the stuff to take care of, then I have more flexibility in my life. So what I'm talking about is, and I got this term when Peter was talking. She was talking about we take freedom for granted. And the term went right through my head, freedom of the soul. That's what I'm talking about. Not political or cultural freedom, but freedom of my soul. Because only I can be free for me. I can't be free for you. And I'll end with a little more Thoreau, because I didn't read the whole sentence. But this is what freedom is for me now. I'm upgrading my freedom quotient. So this is what it is now. Here's what I read before. Thoreau declined to give up his large ambition of knowledge and action for any narrow craft or profession. I did that for a long time. Gave up the bigger freedom for the narrow craft or profession, aiming at a much more comprehensive calling, the art of living well. Mm-hmm. That's it. Thank you.